there's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Everyone grows up to be. Everyone grows up to be something a bit less than they thought they should be. We're out making plans. We're out making plans and watching them melt in the palms of our hands.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it to all four corners of this beautiful bluish-green planet that we call our Earth. Happy New Year, everybody. Phil here, rejoicing in the miscalculations of the Mayans and so many other things, that we are here in 2013. Oh, man. What do they say? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, a mystery. Today is the present. It's a gift. That's why it's the present. Or something like that. God, I botched the whole damn thing. You get the idea. A life-affirming expression there. That just sums up how I feel as we head into 2013, a year of music, joy, rock and roll, of course, friends and family and so much more. Thrilled to be with you folks. Phil here. Hope you had a great holiday, a great new year, etc. We sure did at the house. Oh man, I just laid low. We played a lot of in-town gigs. Just some solo stuff, duo stuff over at the Common Table in Dallas. Boy, what a great time we had there. J.W. Marshall on bass, of course. If you haven't been to one of our Common Table gigs and you're thinking about just, you know, dropping by a Pritchett gig, maybe you haven't done it in a while, check out that Common Table, little restaurant there in Uptown. You get in there, you can't even tell where the band plays. There's tables everywhere. You're like, dude, I don't see a stage. That's the deal, man. No stage. They clear off a few tables at the end of the night. Everyone's had dinner. Everyone's had a few cocktails. It's high end, great food, great beer. Then me and Blue just set up. They got a nice little PA in there. And it's just, I feel like I'm sitting in my own, at my own lodge out on the ranch, if I had one, and just playing some songs by the fire. Me and Blue there. Outstandingly great time. My old friend Robert Hempfeltz dropped by. In fact, he played guitar on Beautiful Day. I went over and played bass. Try to get your head around that. I was playing accompaniment on my own material. Fun stuff. Singing harmony. Good times. And man, Brandon Aguilar from a great band called Blue Bear, who was brought over by the great Cameron Gott, a friend of ours from College Station, did some road managing for us, merch selling. A lot of the photographs you see on Flickr and Facebook of Phil Pritchett and the Full Band are brought to you by Cameron Gott. So thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Brandon, for coming over and playing. Oh, man, Brandon played that great Ray LaMontagne song. You beg, you steal, you borrow. Did it very faithfully and very well indeed. Well, we are just having so much fun here at Trinidad World Recording. January, it's been cold, we've had fires, we've had snow, we had a white Christmas here in North Texas. Awesome! We've had two in the last few years now. I lived here my whole freaking life, man. And never saw a white Christmas till, you know, a couple years ago we had a huge snow on Christmas. And we had another one this year, man. It started snowing like crazy Christmas Day. Piling up out there, snowmen, the whole nine yards. Oh, what a great time. What a great time, man. And what would the holidays be, of course, without a little football? Man, oh, man. Are you like me? Are you just dreading or anticipating when our old road manager, Blake Walker, the world's biggest brainwashed Aggie, shows back up here? Oh, good Lord. Somebody just punch me in the face right now. Somebody just go off and slug me. Walker, frequent contributor. He works right up the road here. Anytime something goes on in Aggie football, music, he comes in to talk and opine. So we look forward to him dropping by and giving us a full, just whipping our ass with some Johnny Football Heisman Trophy and, you know, whipping up on OU in the Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M, this is the year of Texas A&M. Good grief. The last one was like 1943 or something like that. I'm just kidding. I know about Bucky Richardson and the Cotton Bowl or whatever, but what was that, 88 or something? I can't remember. But it's been a while. It's been a while, and man, what a year for the Aggies. Outstanding. So we look forward to having Blake Walker dropping by. Oh, man, hopefully here in the next week or so to just fill us full of his gloating Aggie BS, man. I can't wait to get a load of it myself. But a thought occurred to me. You know, I get on the, people say I should ought to tweet more and stuff about certain things, but I've kind of got a little closed group text kind of list. When crucial football games come on, I love football, man. Build the fire, get a beer and wrestle with the kids, watch some football. This is what I do. Cowboys, but I watch all, especially playoffs, bowl games. I watch it all, and was intrigued, of course, like anybody else, with the great play of Robert Griffin, our own Robert Griffin from Texas. Baylor, Heisman Trophy, everyone loves Griffin. Smart, classy, just a great guy, a leader on and off the field. Dude, everyone loves Griffin, including myself. I was intrigued after the Redskins beat the Cowboys, went on to the playoffs to face this upstart Seattle Seahawks team. In the playoff, first round of the playoffs, the wild card game at the Redskins home field, whatever the hell it's called, not RFK Stadium. Was it FedEx Field? I love that they still have grass. Oh, this is for another podcast, dude. I hate the fake turf. I know it's longer, it's better than the old turf, but give me the field with the clumps of clay and the turf on the HDTV. You know what I'm saying? I need grass stains, chalk, mud. I hate this artificial turf. They need to pull it all up, man. Pull it all up. Hell, even the Texans have real grass, even though they're inside. And it adds to the flavor of the game, in my opinion. Topic for another time. So RG3 comes out. We all know he had a concussion early in the year, and he had his knee got all bent up backwards a few weeks ago. So he was hobbling around against the Cowboys. He threw for only 100 yards against the Cowboys. But they beat us anyway. The running game was great. So anyway, I'm watching with intrigue in the Seattle game, and man, he's just hobbling around out there, Griffin. And man, you know, if you don't pay attention to history, you're doomed to repeat it. See this episode, I'm reflecting on a history, the significance of history. History's a mystery tomorrow, all that stuff. Man, let me say something. I've watched a lot of football over the last several years, and I'm always astounded how much people forget about the history of in politics. People forget about history a lot. Every election we have in the United States, right, is the most important election ever. Or more is riding on this election than ever before. And I'm always just like, really? Even after World War II and the Civil War and good Lord, this country's been through a lot. You're going to sit here and say that today, no question, is the most important decision we've ever had to face in this country? I'm not saying it's not important, but the most ever? People tend to think of today as do or die, the best ever, winner take all moment. I guess that's just how we're wired as human beings. But I read a lot of history. I try to have some perspective on where things have gone and what we're up against. And so that brings me back around to RG3, our beloved quarterback who we all love, whose talent is undeniable. He comes into the league and he has this amazing rookie year. He's running, he's throwing, he's leading the team. He's charming in the press conference. And everyone's like, man, this is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. This guy is going to revolutionize the position. This guy, Robert Griffin, after all these years, is changing the way. This is what I keep hearing all the commentators say. Changing the way we view the quarterback position. He is going to rattle Dallas's cage and the Eagles and the Giants in this conference for the next 10 years. We're going to be chasing this guy around. Not being able to unlock the mysteries of his deception, the option, the ball. You never know what he's going to do. He can do it all. And I totally agree with that. But man, Phil, that's me, sitting right here, has been watching a lot of football over the years. And man, I got everybody in my little closed texting circle all riled up by just questioning Griffin's position in the NFL. What are you hating on Griffin for, man? What are you saying he's not gonna? And here's my argument, man. He may well change the world with his ability. But let me just say this. We have seen this act before, dude. We have seen this act over and over again. The NFL is populated with quarterbacks who win Super Bowls. We all know who those are. The Mannings and Roethlisberger and Drew Brees and all these guys, right? Boring oafs of men who watch film. All they can do is stand and throw. And throw the ball in a precise fashion through a hole in the tire 30 yards down the field. They don't run. They don't do much. They got knee braces, the flak jacket, and they just stand there, drop back, and get rid of the ball quickly and accurately. And that's what the NFL quarterbacks do. But every few years, man, I remember years ago you had Cordell Stewart coming out of Colorado. He ran the option at Colorado. Remember Rashawn Salaam? Oh, man, I went to that game in Austin where they ran all over Texas for like 500 yards. Stewart, but oh man, no. He's not just an option guy. He's not a runner. See, look, remember that, people might remember years ago, he had that Hail Mary pass to Michael Westbrook, that great receiver for Colorado, back when the Buffs were good. Remember way back then, back in the Big 8 days, I think. And oh man, Stewart, there he was, man, indeed he threw the ball like 70 yards down a field or something in the air, and he caught it. Oh man. Grip. And so he goes to the Steelers. I think he went to the Steelers first. So he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, the world better look out, man. Here comes Cordell Stewart. Not only can he throw the ball 70 yards, he can beat you with his legs. He can run the option. He can da-da-da-da-da. Slash, they called him, because he was a running back slash quarterback. He was just all things to all people, revolutionizing the position with every snap of the ball. And indeed he did. Oh, he was a highlight reel that rookie year, first couple years. There he was running around, running the option in the pros. Who said it couldn't work? Look at him running it everywhere. This is changing the way we play the game. Well, it goes like that for a while until one thing happens. He gets the ever-loving crap knocked out of him. And look, I pulled for the guy. But at some point, the running has to stop. And Cordell Stewart came down to earth and was eventually out of the game. Then you had the great Michael Vick, right? Running around, coming around. I don't know if this was in chronological order. Here comes Vick. Oh, who doesn't remember? And the Atlanta Falcons uniform running downfield. Just like a running back. He just looks like Barry Sanders, except he can throw. And he's running. I mean, no one's ever going to get it. He's amazing. And I think he took the Falcons all the way to the NFC Championship game. Was that right? His rookie year or second year or something with the Packers? Oh, man, not going to ever see anything like Michael Vick ever again. All the dog and jail time stuff notwithstanding, man, teams started scheming for Vic. Okay, look, keep him in the pocket, make him throw the ball, and he'll make mistakes, knock the crap out of him, and he'll be done. And Vic was lucky. He had two rookie seasons. He had the Atlanta, then he went away, and then he came back and kind of had a somewhat rookie season, quote-unquote, for the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's exactly what happened. So he comes back for the Eagles and was very effective early on. Oh, man, the Cowboy defenses and the Redskins and everybody in the division couldn't quite figure out Michael Vick. But, man, the act wears thin. I know he's a little older, but, man, he starts getting hurt. He starts having rib trouble, concussion problems. He starts running around. He starts getting smacked. Then he had the rookie season of one of my real heroes, Vince Young. Remember Vince Young, the greatest player to ever play football in college? Ever history? Ever! Everyone goes, man, it hadn't worked till now, but Vince Young is different. And you know what? I believed it, because I saw Vince Young do things in college, winning games by himself, running, throwing. I knew he couldn't throw that well, but you know what I'd say? I say the same thing they say about all these other guys. Well, that's not his game, man. He when the pocket collapses, most guys get sacked. Not him, man. Not Vince. He ducks. He dives. He runs around. He gets a first down. This is a, he's revolutionized. The NFL's never seen anything like him. He's going to revolutionize the game. And sure enough, his rookie year. Again, here's the rookie year with Stewart, Vic. Here comes Vince. Rookie year. What does he do? He takes a poor Titans team all the way to the playoffs. I think they're like 9-7 or something. Vince Young wins, rookie of the year, or offensive player, offensive rookie of the year, whatever it is. And the sky's the limit. This guy will never be stopped. But we all know how that ended up. I know you say, oh, Phil, he was a head case. You can't count that. RG3's not like that. All I'm saying is, at that point, I can't believe Vince didn't do better and didn't revolutionize the game. He was the biggest, fastest, most dominant player I've ever seen in the history of college football. And I guess my sense is, if he's not different, then nobody's different. You also have Cam Newton in there. Who denies the athletic ability of Cam Newton? Not me. Not me, man. Here he comes. Again, Heisman Trophy winner, blah, blah, blah. Same story. Rookie year. Throwing for 450. Rushing for 100. No one can stop Cam Newton. Well, man, he just had his second year. There's a lot of dissension in the ranks. It's the same thing playing out in Carolina. They went 4-12. Newton's pissed. He's running around. They've got to keep him in the pocket more, man. He can't be getting hit like that. Hey, we're going to teach him to throw that accurate ball down there. He's better than boring old Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning and whoever else we got out here. Cam, he can just take off for 80 yards. And indeed, he does sometimes. He makes some incredible plays. But game in and game out, there's problems with Cam. He can't run as much as he wants and all this kind of stuff. So the difficulty's already begun there. And Tim Tebow. You know, hey, man, Tebow cannot throw the ball. But what did everybody say? Oh, it doesn't matter, man. He's got the heart. He prays before every game. He's a great guy. He's got the intangibles, man. He has the will to win. And hey, look, no one loves Tebow more than me. I totally agree with every one of those statements. But I come back to the same thing. Can he say, hut, three steps back, bullet 40 yards down the field through the tire? Can he do it? Oh, man, that's not his game, dude. He runs around. He puts his head down. He gets that extra yard. Garbage, I say. Garbage. It's not gonna work. And so as I watch RG3, the new one, the latest in a line of about six that I just mentioned, and even more, if you sit back and think about it, those are just the ones that jump to mind, of guys who are going to revolutionize the quarterback position, guys that NFL teams just aren't going to be able to figure out, guys that they throw, they pass, they do all this. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, sitting here, the same controversial thing that I said to everybody on the text the other night. We have seen the peak of RG3. What are you talking about? It's his freshman year. We have seen the peak of RG3. What are you talking about, Phil? It's crazy. What are you talking about? It's just his first year. I just learned the system. We have seen the peak of Robert Griffin III. And let me tell you what, like all these other fine young men I talked about, perhaps none more impressive, nicer, and just a greater guy that I want to succeed than Griffin. But I'm going to go on record here and say we've seen the act before. And now he's got a messed up knee. He's got concussion problems. All is a virtue of his great play and all in his heart and his guts and all that stuff we love. But dude, it doesn't hold up. And now the next move for Washington's going to be, well, you know, Griffin's young question, leader of the team. He's got to keep in the pocket more. You know, he's elusive. Teach him, you know, he can't just run all the time. Come on, Robert. Well, dude, that's his game. These guys are running backs who can occasionally throw the ball is really all they are. And they have not conditioned themselves all these years to throw the ball as well as a guy like Breeze or Brady, a guy that knew he was never a running back. Those guys just worked on reading defenses and throwing the ball accurately and very quickly. With good technique. And that was all they worked on. And it just shows up. And dude, I hate Phillip Rivers and Cutler and these guy boring and they're prima donnas and they're jerks. But the sad fact is, dude, a guy like Cutler is going to be more effective in the NFL, sitting back there and rifling the ball down the field and being a grouch, than probably Griffin. I hate to say that. And hey, I might be wrong. Who knows? Griffin might win the Super Bowl next year. Goodness knows. But I'll tell you what, look at the Super Bowl list going all the way back to the ends of time. Maybe Roger Staubach's back there. He was a bit of a scrambler, you know, but certainly a great passer, first and foremost. He wasn't an option quarterback. And it's just like we say, man. It's just Roethlisberger, Eli, Breeze, boring, Peyton. Oh, good grief, you know. Aaron Rodgers. Now he's elusive. He can scramble a little bit, but anybody, I tell you, Aaron Rodgers is probably one of the best passers in the league. That's what Troy Aikman said. He throws the best ball, best spiral, best catchable ball of anyone. He is just a thrower par excellence, and he looks to throw before the run. And so it is with heavy heart and with great guilt, great sadness that I make this prediction. That we have seen probably the best. There will be moments from RG3 in the next year or two where he breaks out on a great run or makes a long pass. There's no question. Those will come. But I think in the end, he's just not going to be a playoff in and out QB that they hope he will, who redefines the way we all think about the NFL quarterback. And we will be set instead to watch an aging Brady and aging Roethlisberger and Manning with their knee braces and flak jackets. Just, man, these guys just get sacked and they stand there and they don't know what, they can't elude the rush, all that stuff. But you know what? They drop back, boom, first down. Drop back, boom, first down. And they move the ball down the field and populate our playoffs and win our Super Bowls. While the RG3s and Cordell Stewarts and Cam Newtons and Tim Tebows and Michael Vicks, they're on the bench. Or wearing a stocking cap because they're hurt. With the announcers going, man, there's the most dynamic player in the game. Oh, if they could only get him back on the field, this team would be winning. We've seen it before. If you don't learn or adhere to history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I will go on the record saying the Redskins have doomed themselves and repeated it here. But no hating for RG3, man. There's not a better guy in the freaking league. And I mean that sincerely. I just don't see him doing what they say he can do, man. I just don't see it. Once he had the knee brace on, he was totally ineffective. And I know he can't throw. He's pushing off all that. But Roethlisberger would sit back there on a broken ankle and whip your ass, wouldn't he? Peyton Manning, he'd have a sprained knee or he'd just sit there and just pick you apart. Still, Brady'd have a knee injury or whatever and come back and he'd still beat you. That's the hard part, man, is the defense. You know, like in the heyday of the Cowboys, you'd say, man, you knew they were going to hand it to Emmitt Smith, and they still beat you. RG3 and those quarterbacks, their strength is you don't know if they're going to run or throw. He looks like he's rolling out. But they figure that out. But if you bottle them up and hurt them, and as the years go on and you know that they're going to try to keep these Cam and Vic, they're going to try to make him a passer, and you can just go after him, it's all over, dude. Those guys are nothing without their legs. And once they get bottled up, once they get hurt a few times, they're no good, man. And you can't believe you're going to start Kirk Cousins or whoever that other quarterback that Washington got, who's just, he's got more of a passer. He's not as dynamic as RG3. RG3 is going to be out there trying to run around and flipping the ball around and making mistakes and getting hurt. And they're going to be going, man, maybe we should get Cousins out there. And no one's going to believe it. Man, how can you bench RG3? But, man, we went through it. How can you bench Stewart, man, an athlete like that? How can you bench Vince Young? He was the third pick in the draft or whatever he was. But it all comes to pass, man. Tebow, he might not even be on a team next year. Won the national title. Heisman. He took the Broncos to all that stuff. But he can't throw the ball. He can't step back and deliver it on a rope, on a frozen rope 30 yards down the field. And they say, oh, well, Griffin could do that. Griffin could do that. No problem. Well, we shall see. You find out real quick with these guys in the NFL. And time is of the essence. So, complain all you want. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Phil@philpritchett.com. Well, hey, man, that is the beginning of 2013. Here in January, it's cold outside. I've been building fires, sipping that warm beer. Oh, just loving life here. Trinidad, come record, everybody. 817-733-5256. Man, thanks for your emails. We're going to be playing a lot of private parties here for folks in the winter and into the spring. Man, just shoot me an offer. Say, Phil, I got Phil, we're having this party. We can't spend more than this. And I'll let you know, hey, that's me with a guitar, or hey, that's me with a horn section and a PA. Whatever, we do it all. We want to come play for you, the fans. We don't want to necessarily drive way out to somewhere and play for some people we don't know. We want to play for you, the fans. So let me know where that's going to be. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. Don't hesitate, man. I'll call you back. Put your phone number in your email. I'll call you instantly, and we'll talk it out and work it out. So call me, Phil. Hey, happy 2013, everybody. The podcast is back rolling again here. Man, I'm reading some interesting books now. I'm reading the autobiography of Rod Stewart.
Oh, God.
But I got a lot of good feedback from my Sammy Hagar autobiography podcast. Rod Stewart's deal is I don't know if I'd put it quite up there with Hagar, but it is equally as fascinating, equally as hilarious and noteworthy. We'll do a podcast on that very soon. So look forward to that. Email me for those private parties and recording. This is Phil Pritchett. Thanks for listening to the P2 Podcast. We'll see you next time, folks. Much tougher.
I've learned Texas is real. Hey there, Texas, do you know how